discipline is what discipline is all about. You can't teach self-discipline if the students are always looking for more treats, raffle tickets, and goodies from the treasure box. The best reward is the satisfaction of a job well done. If you must use a reward, one that is popular for any subject or grade level is 30 minutes of free time on Friday as a class-wide reward. Everyone has to work together cooperatively the entire week for the reward. The 30 minutes of free time on Fridays is effective and simple because it is not a tangible prize, and your students will never grow tired of it. Besides, the time is used mostly for schoolwork. There are no popcorn parties, pizza parties, or videos to plan for and clean up after. Just free time to work. Like rules and consequences, you will want to post your rewards. Indicate the time factor associated with the reward. Will the reward be given daily, weekly, monthly, at the end of the quarter? When? Explain the simple system by which the reward is to be earned. The teacher does not give rewards. The students earn rewards. The most common way of earning rewards on a class basis is to put a tally mark somewhere when you spot someone following directions or doing good. If you don't like tally marks, use marbles in a jar, raffle tickets, or red indicators on a drawing of a thermometer. When the class has earned a predetermined number of tally marks, your students can collectively have the reward. Here is an example of a discipline plan where teacher is in charge. Discipline plan for room 16. Classroom rules. 1. Have all appropriate materials and supplies at your table and be seated when the bell rings. 2. Respect the people, equipment, and furnishings of room 16. 3. Adjust your voice level to suit the activity. 4. Follow directions the first time they are given. 5. Observe all rules in the student handbook. If you choose to break a rule, first time, name on board, warning. Second time, one check, 15 minutes after school on Thursday. Third time, two checks, 30 minutes after school on Thursday. Fourth time, three checks, 45 minutes after school on Thursday, and parents called. Fifth time, four checks, 60 minutes after school on Thursday, referral written, and student sent to the office. Severe disruptions, student sent immediately to the office. Names and checks erased each Thursday afternoon. Rewards, praise, daily. Positive notes home, random. Whole class music time or free time, weekly. Raise a grade certificate, monthly. Movie and popcorn party for class every 9 weeks. Various other positive perks throughout the school year. The joy of learning, each day of the school year. Students, I have read this classroom discipline plan and understand it. I will honor it while in room 16. Signature, date. Parents, my child has discussed the classroom discipline plan with me. I understand it and will support it. Signature, date. Teacher, I will be fair and consistent in administering the discipline plan for room 16. Signature. Important. Please keep this sheet in your binder at all times. Thank you. Discipline plan where both the student and teacher are in charge. My action plan. The most common form of a cooperative discipline plan is with a contract or some kind of an agreement from the student. Some elementary classes have power centers. This is a desk set aside for those children who must be sent to reflect on their misbehavior. They are told they can return to class activities when they tell the teacher, "I have the power," meaning I have the power to discipline myself and behave. If the child starts to waver, quickly ask, "Do you have the power?" Smile and you'll get a smile back. Other grade-level classrooms have timeout centers, which are similar to penalty boxes in hockey. My action plan is a simple technique that not only addresses the specific problem, but simultaneously teaches the student responsibility, problem-solving, and self-discipline. Direct the student to a desk set aside with a pencil and a copy of My Action Plan. You can download a copy at effectiveteaching.com in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 18. Step 1. Show the student a copy of My Action Plan and be prepared to work with the student on answering the three questions. What's the problem? What's causing the problem? What plan will you use to solve the problem? What's the problem? Indicate the rule or rules the student has violated. What's causing the problem? The student is to list all the factors that are causing the problem to occur. Work with the student in a problem-solving mode here. Share with the student that the only way a person can solve a problem is first to isolate and identify it. You are not interested in degrading or scolding the student. You want to teach the student how to solve a problem, a technique that the student can use in future life. What plan will you use to solve the problem? The student is to write the action plan needed to solve the problem. Have the student look at the factors causing the problem. Show the student that the way to solve a problem is to change or eliminate the factors causing the problem. Help the student see the logic of this. Have the student write a plan based on the causative factors listed under the second question. The student now takes responsibility for the plan. You did not tell the student what to do. The student, through problem solving, devised his or her own plan to correct the problem. You are teaching responsibility. Step 2. Have the student commit to responsibility by signing the action plan. If the problem is not corrected, go back and modify the third part of the action plan. It is much better to teach problem solving, responsibility, and self-discipline than to yell, scream, and flunk. Yelling, screaming, and flunking benefit no one. Learning to be self-disciplined and responsible benefits all of society. Through persistence, have the student work on the action plan repeatedly until the problem is corrected. Commend the student when success occurs. Step 3. For the student to carry through with his or her responsibility, encouragement is needed from the home and the school to get the student to achieve self-discipline. Tips for calling home are in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 18 at effectiveteaching.com. The three key concepts in the value of using My Action Plan are 1. Problem solving, 2. Responsibility, 3. Self-discipline. Go be. More help with preventing misbehavior. Solving discipline problems is very complex. No perfect solutions have been found. Go to the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 18 at effectiveteaching.com for a quick refresher course in discipline basics. The Self-Manager Plan. Jane Slavensky of Arizona uses a self-manager plan in which students are taught to be responsible for managing their own behaviors. Students are presented with a self-manager application, a self-evaluation of responsible behavior, appropriate treatment of others, and prompt work completion to the best of their abilities. Download this application at effectiveteaching.com in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 18. List of appropriate behaviors. The class discusses a list of appropriate behaviors and standards for a self-manager. The class is then given an opportunity to revise the list. Once the list of behaviors is agreed upon, each student may complete an application to take home for their parents' review. When parents are in agreement with their child's self-evaluation, it is signed and returned to school. Teacher-student evaluation. The teacher must agree with the student's evaluation. If the teacher disagrees, evidence must be provided to support this. Afterward, the student and teacher discuss their differences of opinion and come to an agreement. Jane says this is rarely necessary because most students, with input from their parents, are honest about their performance. Students rated almost always in each category become self-managers. Each qualifying student wears a badge that says, "I'm a self-manager." Staff and students recognize and acknowledge self-managers by the badges. Students' self-evaluation. About once every 6 weeks, all students, including self-managers, complete a self-evaluation. It is important that self-managers maintain and reflect on appropriate behaviors. Remaining members of the class continue to have chances to refine their behaviors and become self-managers too. If a student loses or misplaces the badge, it can be replaced for a fee. This fee comes from their personal classroom checking accounts. Students earn money for their checking accounts by applying for a class job from a list of job descriptions. Only students who apply are given jobs. Checking account balances are used to pay fines for classroom infractions throughout the year. The class determines and agrees to privileges granted to those with a self-manager badge. Types of privileges include walking ahead of the class to PE, music, and art, sitting in beanbag chairs while the teacher reads aloud or during silent reading, not having to ask to use the restroom, and being first in line for dismissal. Self-manager help group. Self-managers pair up with students who have not yet achieved self-manager status. Each Friday, after all students have received their weekly completion sheets, pairs of students review the list of missing assignments, work together to find it, and organize it for completion. This is strictly on a voluntary basis, but all students who are not self-managers must request assistance from a peer who is a self-manager. Students and former students take great pride in this form of recognition. Many students have older siblings who were self-managers. They still have their self-manager badges and are proud to show them to their younger brothers and sisters. Discipline plan where the student is in charge. The raise responsibility system. The ideal of discipline plans is to place the student in charge of his or her behavior. Marvin Marshall, marvinmarshall.com, teaches the raise responsibility system. The plan teaches that democracy and responsibility are inseparable. Even though it is a non-coercive discipline system, it is not permissive. The system teaches four levels of social development. Anarchy, lowest level, absence of any social order, only interested in themselves, as in the case of infants. Bossing, bossed to behave, bothers, and bullies with own standards, only obeys when more authority is exercised or threatened. Cooperation, conformity, motivation is external, acts appropriately, complies with teacher expectations, and follows procedures. Also applies to outside influences whereby a student conforms to negative peer pressure. Democracy, highest level, motivation is internal, takes the initiative to develop self-discipline and act responsibly because it is the right thing to do, realizes most satisfaction from efforts. The RAISE responsibility system has three stages of implementation. 1. Teaching. Proactive. Levels are taught at the outset in contrast to waiting until misbehavior occurs. Most effective if students visualize what each level would look like and reflect on their level of chosen behavior. 2. Asking. Student recognition of own chosen level of behavior. The teacher asks a student to identify or reflect on the level. Defending oneself is completely eliminated. Student is separated from the deed. Ask, "What level do you think you are behaving at?" Discuss the level, not the behavior. 3. Eliciting. Redirect inappropriate impulses. Request, please take a moment and reflect on the level you have chosen. Effective communication of your discipline plan. Now that you have thought out, constructed, and posted your discipline plan, all that is left is to communicate this plan to your students on the first day of school. How you communicate your plan will determine its success or failure. The ineffective teacher may have no clearly defined rules, communicates rules sporadically and as they are suddenly needed to stifle a situation, conveys rules in a gruff, angry, and condescending manner, winces, shrugs, or conveys via facial expressions or body language disbelief in what is being said, conveys that, I'm only doing this because the administration wants me to do it, implies that, I was hired to teach the subject matter, not to maintain discipline, tells students, if you don't want to learn, that's not my problem, berates students with useless phrases to convey expectations of appropriate behavior, such as, don't you know any better? Or, how many times do I have to tell you? The effective teacher has a discipline plan that does not degrade students, communicates the plan at the start of school in a firm but controlled and friendly manner, does not wince or convey disbelief in what is being said, makes eye contact with each student while presenting the plan, provides an understandable reason for the plan, provides a copy of the plan for each student and the home, enforces the plan consistently, tells students that the administration supports the plan, reviews the plan with new students, has positive expectations that all students will abide by the plan, has self-confidence and faith in his or her capabilities, teaches students the concept of responsibility. The effective teacher, 1. Thinks through a discipline plan before school begins and conveys the plan to the students when school begins. 2. Discusses the plan so students understand its logic and accept it as reasonable. 3. Involves the home to help guarantee and enforce the plan. 4. Uses discipline to help teach young people self-discipline and responsible behavior. 19. How to teach students to follow classroom procedures. The key idea, a smooth-running classroom is based on the teacher's ability to teach procedures. Coercion and compliance will send you home frazzled and angry. Why? Too many teachers do not teach. They cover or do activities. Then, when things go wrong, they discipline. In short, most classrooms are unmanaged. The problem is not discipline. The number one problem in the classroom is not discipline. It is the lack of procedures and routines. You have now arrived at the two most important chapters in this book. What you are about to hear can provide you with a smooth-running, well-oiled learning environment. For this to happen, you must implement the practices and procedures described in chapters 19 and 20. The information in these two chapters on classroom management will help you become a proactive teacher and will assist you in reducing the number of misbehaviors in the classroom. Effective teachers teach students how to responsibly follow procedures. Ineffective teachers use controlling tactics to coerce the students into compliance. A vast majority of the behavior problems in the classroom are caused by the failure of students to follow procedures and routines. There are three main reasons why students do not follow procedures. 1. The teacher has not thought out what happens in the classroom. 2. The students have not been taught how to follow procedures. 3. The teacher spends no time managing the classroom with procedures. Thus, The students cannot follow procedures that do not exist. I knew they would do that. I was absent one day and called the school to tell my substitute something. No one answered, so I began to panic. I called the teacher next door and asked her if my substitute was there. She told me that she had seen the substitute earlier, but had no idea why the substitute was not answering the phone. When I returned to school the next day, the teacher met me in the hallway and said, "Remember when I told you that the substitute was in your room? Well, I was wrong. She thought that it was your planning period, so she was not in the classroom." I began to panic all over again, but before I could say anything, she said, "But your kids were great. They had taken the attendance, posted it outside of your door, read the lesson plan that you left for the sub, and were working quietly when the substitute arrived." I was in shock. I was so proud of my students. They followed our daily procedures and continued to move right along. After she told me that, the administrator came around the corner and said, "Mrs. Soroyer, I need to speak with you." I thought that I was going to be in trouble because he found out that my students were in the classroom alone. As he was talking, I was thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to lose my job." But finally he said, "Congratulations. When the sub arrived, your students had posted the attendance and were working so quietly that no one knew that they were alone." With a smirky smile of relief, I said, "I know. We have procedures in place." I knew that they would do that. Chalonda Soroyer, Bob Jones High School, Alabama. Could I have the plans back? Due to illness, I called for a sub. When my students came in for homeroom, I wasn't there, nor was a sub. The students took roll, filled out the attendance scantron, listened to the announcements, recited the pledge, and dismissed on the bell. My first period class came in next, and the sub still hadn't arrived. The students took out their daily work and began working. When most had finished, one student went to the front, used the key, and led the class through the answers. He then looked at the board for the schedule and had everyone take out their grammar homework. He used that key and went over the homework with them. Now, about 20 minutes into the period, they still didn't have a teacher. The self-appointed leader wrote out a pass for another student and sent him to the office to check on the teacher situation. When the office was notified, there was concern and distress. What had been going on for the last 20 minutes? The principal went back to the room with the student. When I returned the next day, the principal told me when he entered the room, the students were seated and working on the current grammar lesson, with the student leader working it on the overhead. The principal asked the student for the sub plans and moved to leave the room. The student leader then said, "Could I have the plans back? I haven't finished teaching yet." Procedures and organization have empowered my students and myself. I don't have problems with discipline, and I look forward to coming to work and spending time learning with my kids since I've been using procedures. Terry L. Schultz, Lakota School District, Ohio. What is classroom management? Classroom management consists of the practices and procedures that a teacher uses to maintain an optimum environment in which instruction and learning can occur. Classroom management and discipline are not the same. You manage a store. You do not discipline a store. You manage a team. You do not discipline a team. Likewise, effective teachers manage a classroom. They do not discipline a classroom. Teachers who view classroom management as a process of organizing and structuring classroom events tend to be more effective than teachers who view their role as disciplinarian. Teachers who are effective classroom managers have planned procedures for classroom organization, have instructional procedures to maximize student engagement, systematically teach these procedures. It is not what teachers do to stop misbehavior that characterizes effective group management, but how they prevent problems in the first place. Effective teachers implement a systematic approach toward classroom management with procedures at the beginning of the school year. Effective and ineffective classrooms. A comparison. Effective classroom. The students are actively involved in meaningful work. The procedures govern what they do and they understand how the class functions. The teacher, who is also involved in work, is moving around the room, helping, correcting, answering, disciplining, encouraging, smiling, and caring. Ineffective classroom. The students are in their seats doing busy work or nothing. The only person who is observed working is the teacher. The teacher controls the class. Learning occurs only when students are actively engaged and in control of their own learning. Are the students working in your classroom? The person who works learns. Students readily accept the idea of having a set of uniform classroom procedures because it simplifies the task of succeeding in school. Procedures allow a wide variety of activities to take place during the school day, often simultaneously, with minimal confusion and wasted time. If there are no procedures, much time is wasted organizing and explaining each activity, even for recurring activities. The lack of procedures also leads to students acquiring undesirable work habits and behaviors that are subsequently hard to correct. No learning takes place when you discipline. Learning takes place only when a student is at work. Discipline temporarily stops misbehavior and disrupts the learning process. Effective teachers know that the more time students spend on task called academic learning time, the more the students learn. Who is working and learning in your classroom? The difference between discipline and procedures. Classroom management should not be equated with discipline. Discipline plans have rules. Classroom management plans have procedures. Please do not call a procedure a rule. Procedures are not found in a discipline plan, nor should a procedure be a threat, a rule, or an order. Procedures lay the groundwork for student learning. A procedure is simply a method or process for getting things done in the classroom. Procedures and routines are different from a discipline plan. Do not confuse procedures with discipline. There are two major differences. Discipline concerns how students behave. Procedures concern how things are done. Discipline has penalties and rewards. Procedures have no penalties or rewards. A student is generally not penalized for failing to follow a procedure or rewarded if a procedure is followed. Example of a procedure. There is a procedure for opening a lock on a locker. It's usually two turns to the right, one turn to the left, and a final turn to the right. There is no penalty if the procedure is not followed. The lock just does not open. Likewise, there is no reward if the procedure is followed. The lock simply opens. To do anything in life successfully, you simply follow the procedures. Student success or achievement at the end of the school year is directly related to the degree to which the teacher establishes good control of the classroom procedures in the very first week of the school year. Procedures set the class up for achievement to take place. A rule is a dare to be broken, whereas a procedure is not. A procedure is a do, a step to be learned. Why procedures are important. Students must know from the very beginning what they are expected to do in a classroom work environment. Discipline dictates how they are to behave. Procedures and routines teach what they are to do or work at. Procedures and routines offer security. Students cannot get down to the serious business of learning unless they feel secure in the classroom. They want instruction and guidance on all the how-tos in class, how to head a paper, how to ask for help, how to sharpen a pencil, how to get to work, how and when to use the computer, and so on. Since a procedure explains how you want something done, it is the responsibility of the teacher to have procedures clearly stated. A routine is what the student does automatically without prompting or supervision. Procedures are necessary for an effective classroom for several reasons. Classroom procedures are statements of student expectations that are necessary to participate successfully in classroom activities, to learn, and to function effectively in the school environment. Classroom procedures allow many different activities to take place efficiently during the school day, often several at the same time with a minimum of wasted time and confusion. Classroom procedures increase on-task time and greatly reduce classroom disruptions. Classroom procedures tell students how the classroom is organized, thus reducing discipline problems. Procedure, what the teacher wants done. Routine, what the students do automatically. Students are less likely to act up in frustration trying to figure out what the teacher wants if the classroom procedures are clearly stated. Students accept and want procedures. Effective teachers manage with procedures. Every time the teacher wants something done, there must be a procedure or a set of procedures. For instance, have procedures for taking roll, exchanging papers, registering the students on the first day, taking turns speaking, and moving from task to task. If you don't, time that should be spent on learning will be wasted getting these tasks done. Classroom procedures address such issues as these. What to do when the bell rings? What to do when the pencil breaks? What to do when you hear an emergency alert signal? What to do when you finish your work early? What to do when you have a question? What to do when you need to go to the restroom? Tell your students that classroom procedures are for their benefit. Following procedures will help them do their work with less confusion and thus help them succeed. Knowledge of classroom procedures tells your students such things as these. How to enter the classroom. What to do when they enter the classroom. Where to find the assignment. What to do when you want their attention. How a paper is to be done. Where you want the paper placed. What to do if they want to sharpen a pencil. Where to find assignments if they have been absent. What to do upon dismissal of class. Every classroom needs to have a set of procedures which allow the class to operate smoothly. A smooth-running, effective classroom is free of confusion and is a pleasure to teach and learn in. No need for discipline. I tell my new teachers that I am a lousy disciplinarian, but a good classroom manager. If they will follow my advice and have a procedure for everything that they do, they should not need to discipline a student. Joan Blasingame Davis, Hampton City Schools, Virginia. Judy Gustafson of Manor, Texas, is a high school math teacher. On the first days of school, she gives her class an 8-page paper titled Procedures. It begins as follows. Procedures are a part of life. We follow procedures for using a telephone book, boarding an airplane, approaching a traffic light, and attending a wedding. The reason we have procedures in life is so that people can function in society knowing the acceptable and efficient ways people do things. There are also procedures in this classroom. These procedures establish our classroom culture. This is followed by procedures for use in the following situations: entering the classroom, asking a question, listening to and responding to questions, sharpening your pencil, indicating whether you understand, responding to my request for your attention, turning in papers, working cooperatively, changing groups, maintaining your notebook, leaving the classroom, when you are tardy, when you need a pencil or paper, when you are absent, when someone knocks, when you need help or require a conference, if the phone should ring, an emergency alert, progress reports, end-of-period class dismissal. A smooth-running classroom is the responsibility of the teacher and the result of the teacher's ability to teach procedures. My daughter hated school until this year. She loves school now. Why? Because of the way her teacher has organized the class. A parent. In the first few days of school, teach only procedures necessary for the smooth opening of the class. Delay the other procedures until the appropriate activity arises. Procedures are part of life. Procedures are important in society so that people can function in an acceptable and organized manner. Everyday life is full of procedures. For instance, telephone directory. At the front of a telephone book are procedures on how to make a long-distance call, make a foreign call, contact directory assistance, get emergency help, upgrade your services, and contact the business office. Airplane. After the discipline plan is stated at the beginning of the flight, and yes, there are penalties and fines associated with those rules, the flight attendants explain the procedures. These procedures include how to fasten the seatbelt, how to use the oxygen mask, where to find the life vest, and how to find the aisle in case the cabin fills with smoke. Elevator. If you are waiting to enter the elevator, step aside to allow passengers to exit before you enter. If you are already on the elevator when more passengers enter, step to the back of the elevator and make room for the new arrivals. Or if your floor is the next stop, step out, allow new passengers to enter, and then reboard. Wedding. At the conclusion of a wedding ceremony, a procedure is followed. The bride, groom, and wedding party leave. They are followed by the parents in the first row, who are followed by each row of guests from the front of the seating area. Procedures demonstrate how people are to function in an acceptable and organized manner. When we say that someone is ill-mannered, it is because that person doesn't know or doesn't care about the local customs, culture, or procedures. To function successfully with classmates and other people, the best guideline is the old saying, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." Procedures are part of school life. As in everyday life, procedures must be followed in the classroom. Here are some that nearly every teacher must teach. Procedure for dismissal at the end of the period or day. When the dismissal bell rings, are the students already standing at the door waiting to leave? Or do they just get up and leave even if you are in the middle of a sentence? You can always tell who is running the class, the students or the teacher, by how the students behave at the end of the period or day. Procedure for quieting a class. Do you know how to quiet a class in 15 seconds or less? It can be done easily. Do you yell, scream, and flick the lights, all to no avail? Or if you do succeed, does it take a long time to get the student's attention, not to mention years off your lifespan from stress? Procedure for the start of the period or day. When the students enter, do they know what to do, where to sit, and what materials to have ready? Or do they sit and wait for the teacher to tell them what to do? Procedures for students seeking help. Do your students raise their hands when they want your help, flapping their hands to attract your attention, calling your name at the same time, stopping work in the process, accompanied by muttering and complaining to their classmates because you do not respond instantly? Procedure for the movement of students and papers. Do your students take forever to pass their papers in, and even longer to change from group to group or task to task? And when they turn their papers in, do they throw them in a pile on your desk, or punch each other in the back as the papers are passed forward? The three-step approach to teaching classroom procedures. Most behavior problems in the classroom are caused by the teacher's failure to teach students how to follow procedures. Telling is not teaching. Students must be physically engaged in the process if you want them to learn it. The three steps to teaching procedures. 1. Teach. State, explain, model, and demonstrate the procedure. 2. Rehearse. Rehearse and practice the procedure under your supervision. 3. Reinforce. Reteach, rehearse, practice, and reinforce the classroom procedure until it becomes a student habit or routine. Step 1. Teach classroom procedures clearly. Effective teachers know what activities need to be done and have worked out the procedures for each of them. These procedures are posted or distributed to the students early in the school year or when the activity surfaces in class. Unless the students read well, primary grade teachers should explain the procedures verbally rather than post them. It is essential that you have the procedures for each opening of school activity ready on the first day of school. Revise and hone these procedures year after year until they become models of efficiency. Remember that the effective teacher has a script for the first day of school. Step 2. Rehearse classroom procedures until they become routines. All procedures must be rehearsed. Effective teachers spend a good deal of time during the first weeks of school introducing, teaching, modeling, and rehearsing procedures. Do not expect the students to learn all the procedures in one day, especially at the elementary school level. Behaviors must be taught, modeled, practiced, monitored, and retaught. Watch a good music, drama, athletic, or foreign language coach. Such people are masters at the rehearsal technique. They tell and show you a technique, even have you watch a video of the technique. Then they have you do it repeatedly while they watch you. Some people call this technique guided practice. Parents have their children practice the piano because the more they practice, the better they play. The reason coaches have their teams run the plays over and over again is that the more they run the plays, the better they will be able to execute the plays during the game. Rehearse. Have students practice the procedure step by step under your supervision. After each step, make sure the students have performed it correctly. Have students repeat the procedure until it becomes a routine. The students should be able to perform the procedure automatically without teacher supervision. Run the play, sing the song. The reason many teachers cannot get students to do things is that they just tell the students what to do. You must do what all coaches do, what all music teachers do, and what all effective second grade teachers do. Have your students run the plays, sing the songs, and spell the words over and over again until the procedures become routines. Step 3. Reinforce a correct procedure and reteach an incorrect one. Again, watch a coach, because good coaches are the best teachers. As the coach guides a team, class, or student through practice, corrections are made instantly. The coach tells, shows, demonstrates, cajoles, and even loudly calls out commands until the task is done right. And when it is done right, the coach responds with words of praise, hugs, pats, and smiles. But good coaches don't stop there. They reinforce the correct technique by having the student do the acquired technique over and over again, each time exhorting the student to do it better. Reinforce. Determine whether students have learned the procedure or whether they need further explanation, demonstration, or practice. Reteach the correct procedure if rehearsal is unacceptable and give corrective feedback. Acknowledge the students when the rehearsal is acceptable. Go B. I did not start on the first day of school. It's mid-year and you've just been hired or you want to wipe the slate clean. Find help for starting again after the real first day in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 19 at effectiveteaching.com. Using the three-step approach to teach procedures. The following are examples of how some procedures are taught. You may not need or want them, but note how each procedure is taught. Then substitute your own procedure using the teach, rehearse, reinforce technique just described. How to dismiss a class. How to quiet a class and gain the student's attention. How students are to ask you for help. How students are to pass in papers. What to do during transition. How to take lecture notes. How to complete a rubric. Procedure for dismissal at the end of the period or day. Teach. Students, there is a procedure at the end of the period. You are to remain in your seat or at your desks with the chairs pushed in until I dismiss the class. The bell does not dismiss the class. You do not dismiss the class. The teacher dismisses the class. Thank you. You will want to explain the criteria for dismissal, such as how clean you want the desk or work area, and where and how you want the chairs and equipment to be positioned. Show and demonstrate this procedure. Have several students, never one because it creates a show-off situation, demonstrate the procedure. Praise each so the students know that you are validating the correct procedure. Rehearse. Be alert a few seconds before the bell rings on the first day of school. Anticipate that you will need to make an immediate correction if the procedure is not followed. If the class starts to file out, it is too late to correct the procedure. The failure to correct a procedure will only escalate the problem until the students dismiss themselves and are really the ones in control of the class. On the first day of school, remind the class of the dismissal procedure a few seconds before the bell rings at the end of the period or day. This will reduce the hassle of correcting the class. However, if any students begin to leave at the bell, simply say, "No, no, no, Tom, Joel, Anne, please return to your desks." Do not scold, yell, or demean. And do not use meaningless phrases or questions like, "Listen to me," or "What did I say about the dismissal procedure?" You do not want a discussion, an argument, or a response. You want all students at their desks. Calmly, but in a voice of authority, tell the students who began to leave to return to their desks. Reinforce. Every time a procedure needs to be corrected, 1. Remind the class of the procedure. 2. Have the class experience the procedure. Remind. Class, I would like to remind you of the procedure at the end of the period. You are to remain at your desks until I dismiss the class. Experience. Look around the room. You are all at your desks, and your chairs are pushed in. This is the correct procedure, and I thank you for doing it correctly. Well done. Please do it again tomorrow. Have a nice day. For whom does the bell toll? The school's bell, buzzer, or chime at the end of the period or day is a signal for teachers, notifying them that their instructional time has come to an end. The bell is of no concern to the students. The bell does not dismiss the class. You dismiss the class with a pleasant expression of farewell. The effective teacher uses every moment of class time to engage the students in learning. Effective teachers have the students see, feel, and experience each procedure. The students see all the others remaining in their seats and experience the procedure correctly. Ineffective teachers only tell students what to do. The students do not experience what should be done. That is why many teachers fail when they want students to follow procedures. Rehearse the procedure every day to reinforce the procedure until it becomes a routine. By the end of the third or fourth day, the procedure will have become automatic. Thereafter, all you need to do a few seconds after the bell rings is smile and say, "It's been nice seeing all of you. See you tomorrow. Have a nice day." This is much better than, you're dismissed. Technique for teaching procedures. 1. Teach. 2. Rehearse. 3. Reinforce. Remind. Experience. Why children never tell mom they are going out. Many parents shake their heads in frustration when their children leave the house and never say, I'm going out, mom. They just leave showing no respect or manners. If each day for 180 days, when the class is ready for dismissal at the end of the period or day, the teacher says, have a nice day, to dismiss the class, then the teacher is modeling respect and manners. The students may not realize it, but they are getting a lesson in the appropriate behavior of well-mannered people. People acknowledge people as they leave a group or setting. Adults should repeatedly model appropriate behavior so that a student may experience how to behave in society. How to teach a new student all the class procedures. You have invested a few weeks of practice and rehearsal toward classroom procedures. Your class is now a smooth-running, humming, learning environment. Suddenly a new student joins the class. What do you do? Not to worry. First, understand that you cannot tell a new student the classroom procedures if you haven't first told your existing class. If your class is never sure what to do, there is no way you can ever orient and teach a new student. Second, if you have a class in which the students have learned the routines, you have developed a classroom culture. A culture is the prevailing way a group functions. For instance, when someone is waiting at a crosswalk, drivers stop to let them cross the road. On an airplane, people lower the window shades when the movie begins. At a wedding, people stand when the bride walks down the aisle. At a Chinese family dinner table, the prevailing culture is never to help oneself first. That would be considered selfish and uncouth. The hostess or host always says, "You first, please." You create a culture when students perform in a manner understood to be appropriate in your classroom. When a new student joins the class, give the student a copy of the classroom procedures. Explain to the student what procedures are and why you have them. Tell the student that you will help with the procedures, but that the student will probably be able to learn them by observing how the rest of the class functions. For example, the bell rings at the end of the period, and the new student stands up. Then he notices that all the others are remaining in their seats. The student says mentally, "Oh, I'd better stay seated too, like the rest of the class, and see what happens." The student has just learned the class procedure. The greatest gift. One of the greatest gifts a caring teacher can contribute to children is to help them learn to sit when they feel like running, to raise their hand when they feel like talking, to be polite to their neighbor, to stand in line without pushing, and to do their homework when they feel like playing. By introducing procedures in the classroom, you are also introducing procedures in preparation for living a happy and successful life. Procedures are everywhere. Procedures are everywhere in life. Procedures also apply to schools at all grade levels and all subjects. No matter what grade level or subject you teach, all procedures must be rehearsed. Procedure for quieting a class. Teach. Students, I have a procedure when I want your undivided attention. You will see me stand here with my hand up. Or I may tap a bell because some of you will not be able to see my hand while you are working in a group. When you see my hand or hear a bell, the procedure is as follows. 1. Freeze. 2. Turn and face me. Pay attention and keep your eyes on me. 3. Be ready for instruction. I will have something to say. Let me repeat and demonstrate what I said. Repeat and look for class understanding. Byron, Please tell me the procedure when you see my hand or hear a bell. Byron does so. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Byron. Repeat this with several more students. Is there anyone who does not understand or know what to do if you see my hand or hear a bell? Rehearse. Good. Let's rehearse the procedure. We will be working together this year, so let's get to know one another. Please look at the person to the right of you. You will have 2 minutes to introduce yourselves and get to know one another. After 2 minutes, hold up your hand or ring the bell, perhaps doing both this first time. Do not say a word when you raise your hand. Do the demonstration exactly as you will be doing it for the rest of the year. Be patient and wait until the class does the 3 steps and pays attention. Do not give up as you wait for the students to give you their undivided attention. Compliment them when you have their attention. Thank you. You practiced the procedure correctly. Now, please, look at the person to the left of you. You may have 2 minutes to introduce yourself and get acquainted. After 2 minutes, hold up your hand or ring the bell. Compliment them when they have complied. Thank you. You followed the procedure correctly. We are not finished with the rehearsal. You will often find yourself out of your seat, working in groups or alone somewhere in the room away from your seat. So let's try a different scenario. I would like 2 of you to stand by the pencil sharpener, 2 of you at the sink, 2 of you at the bookcase, and 1 of you at the computer. You then hold up your hand and watch for the 7 students to pay attention. Reinforce. Thank you. That was the correct procedure when you see my hand or hear a bell. Please do the same thing each time you see my hand or hear a bell. You keep using the same language because you must use the same procedure if you want the students to exhibit the same routine. You can also use a technique called praise the deed, encourage the student. Praise the deed, encourage the student. An effective way to praise is to praise what the person did rather than the person, and then encourage the person to do the achievement or deed again. The technique is called specific praise, or praise the deed, encourage the student. Praise is nice, but it is not tangible or meaningful. For instance, Amber, you are a bright child. For a more effective kind of praise, point to something the student did well, then encourage the student to do it again. For instance, Amber, please take out your last spelling test. What score did you get? Right. 19 out of 20 correct. Great. Pat yourself on the back. Shake your own hand. Congratulate yourself. Do it again on the next test. Here are some other examples. Thank you, class. That was the correct procedure when you see my hand or hear a bell. Please do the same thing each time you see my hand or hear a bell. Heidi, thank you for the excellent report at the faculty meeting. The next time I need assistance, I would truly appreciate your help again. Julio, thanks for helping with the dishes tonight. Mom had a meeting to go to and you helped out. The next time Mom needs assistance, I would be glad to have you help out again. The reason people are more likely to do well again is that they know that you saw them do something specific. They believe you were paying attention to me, you noticed me, and you thanked me for doing something I did personally. Pep talks are invigorating, but hollow. They become meaningless quickly because no one is sure to whom the message is directed. When you praise the deed and encourage the student, you help the student do 2 things. 1, accept responsibility for having done the task. 2, develop a sense of accomplishment. The key words are responsibility and accomplishment, 2 things that all people must develop to be successful in life. With gratitude to Barbara Coloroso, author of Kids Are Worth It, for suggesting this technique. She quieted 100 people in 5 seconds. We were invited to our daughter-in-law's class to attend the annual International Day celebration. Students from 3 sixth grade classes were gathered in a large room for the culmination of their study of the country of their ancestry or choice. The students were dressed in native attire and had information and food samples typical of their selected countries. The three classes and an assortment of guests, parents, teachers, administrators, school board members, and friends, numbered about 100 people. As we were walking from display to display, talking with the students and tasting food, we suddenly heard the students call out, 3, 4, 5. Then there was silence in the room, including those of us who had no idea what was going on. Everyone faced the teacher, Cindy Wong, and she spoke. Then everyone went back to what they were doing. Later, I asked Cindy what she did to quiet the room so quickly. She said, "Dad, it's a variation on your 3-step technique. I have a 5-step procedure because I teach younger students than you do, so I wanted to be more specific as to what I wanted. My steps are these. 1, eyes on speaker. 2, quiet. 3, be still. 4, hands free. Put things down. 5, listen. The way it works is I say, give me 5. They go through each of the 5 steps in their mind. I have rehearsed them in this procedure, so when I say, give me 5, it takes them no more than 5 seconds before I have their attention. In addition, all 3 sixth grade teachers have the same procedure. So when another teacher, an aide, a substitute teacher, an administrator, or another student says, give me 5, they have the student's attention. It's the consistent culture for all the sixth graders. Works with 800. Susan Galindo from San Antonio, Texas, shared her Give Me 5 story with us. She was at a fiesta event for the River City Christian School. There were over 600 mentally and physically challenged public school children from 10 different school districts across South Texas attending, and it was time for lunch under the big tent. During lunch, there was an awards presentation to several community members. Susan kept trying to get the attention of the very loud and boisterous group gathered. After several unsuccessful attempts, she yelled out to the nearly 200 teachers who were also eating, "How do I get these kids' attention?" A resounding, unanimous reply from the teachers was, "Say, give me 5." So she calmly said, "Give me 5," and held up her hand. The whole group of 800 became quiet immediately. The honored community members were quite impressed. The Give Me 5 hand signal is not the only way to quiet a class or group. Create your own technique or steal from the list that follows. 1. A principal holds up an orange card at an assembly and can quiet an entire student body in seconds. 2. Many teachers simply say, "May I have your attention, please?" 3. A Texas teacher says, "S-A-L-A-M-E," which rehearses out to, "Stop and look at me." 4. A football coach says, "Gentlemen, please." 5. A teacher in Arizona plays a tabletop chime. 6. A pre-K teacher sings a song. Procedure for students seeking help. Hand-raising is not effective when students want your attention. There are better methods for students to use to get your attention. The class is at work and you are walking around the room helping. You see a hand up and say, "Pam?" The whole class stops and looks at you and Pam. Pam says, "May I sharpen my pencil?" A reasonable request. You say yes.